Welcome to the Chan's Logic Podcast, where I talk about business, life, and everything in between. Hopefully you're ready for a pretty exciting episode this week. I really wanted to dive into one of the most recent ventures that I've been involved in. And so if you're not familiar, I took over Elite Ads, which is a media agency about 6 months ago. Elite Ads is a portfolio company of Tanner Chittister and the Elite CEO's family. So Elite Ads can be labeled as one of the top tier agencies in the industry because the Elite CEO is one of the top tier coaching programs in the industry. And so being a portfolio, what it means is Tanner's essentially part of the company, but he's not actively involved. So I came on as sort of the quote unquote managing partner to run, scale, and grow the agency to a level to where it can be basically at the pinnacle. So in the 6 months that I've been part of the agency, I've been able to double the revenue. And I say I, but when I say I, it's myself and the team that I have under me that's involved in growing and scaling the agency. And when I say double the revenue, what I mean is we've surpassed the seven-figure rate, so over $1 million. And we're also at the point where we have about 50% profitability, 50, 60% profitability. So what that means is we have a seven-figure agency that is achieving 50% profit, which isn't common. Usually agencies, maybe they operate at like 10 or 12% margins or profit margins. And so it's been a pretty big task to be able to take the agency and not only scale the revenue, but also maintain consistent profits along the way. And so a lot of people, when they're trying to scale a business, especially like an agency that has a lot of, or a media agency that has a lot of moving parts and a lot of people involved and a lot of done for you services in relation to like content and advertising, and all of that, the biggest mistake a lot of people make is they overhire. They start scaling, they just hire 1 million people. And then if they have a downturn, people are just sitting on their hands and they have to fire people, which is a really bad way to start growing something. So what I did when I came in was I approached it in a way to where, number one, I had a team under me. So I came in and I had to manage this team of about 4 people. In the beginning. And so the first step for me was making sure staff retention was on point. So a lot of people might listen to this and think that you need to get immediately into marketing and sales. But if you do that, you become a revolving door. So for me, it was important to make sure that I maximize staff retention as the primary mechanism of coming into this thing in order to actually build something that was going to be successful long-term and not be a revolving door. So the first thing I did when I came in was I took the staff and I had one-on-one and individual meetings with every single one of them. I wanted to make sure that I knew what they needed. I wanted to make sure I knew what they liked, what they didn't like, and everything in between. So I put them in positions to where we had one-on-one meetings. I had them, told them it was okay to open up to me, tell me everything that's good, everything that's bad. And I was going to take that into account and really use that to press what we're doing moving forward. And I did. I wrote everything on a spreadsheet. I had all the good things, all the bad things. I created commonalities around it. And I used that to essentially put my staff in a place to where they felt like they had ownership in the company as we started growing and scaling and as I took this thing over. And what that did was it built a staff of raving fans behind me. And when I say that, what I mean is a staff of people who believes in my leadership and believes in the direction we're headed and wants to be part of this future vision. Because if you often see the agency world or the media world, it's people who are kind of bouncing in and out of different agencies and people are plucking people all over the place. And it's because there's no real loyalty to staff. It's not staff that's loyal to the business. It's the business isn't loyal to staff. The business doesn't pay people well. The business doesn't take care of people. The business doesn't listen to people. And I, for one, am not someone who's willing to stand for that. So I wanted to make sure that they recognized and understood that my leadership philosophy is essentially service to them. It's not the idea that they have to serve the business. It's the business is there to serve them to make sure that they can serve the clients at the highest level. And so that set us up in a place where we had a rock solid group of people from the beginning. And as we grew, I had to hire one person, then 2 people, and just consistently bring people up. And we are currently hiring people as I record this, but we're not hiring at such an astronomical rate that if we have a downturn, it's going to impact people. It's going to force me to like fire people. We're growing at a rate to where it's sustainable and we're going to be able to keep the people we hire, take care of them, pay them well, and make sure that they have everything they need to be successful. So that's the first thing I did. And if you ever ask me, the most important thing to me in any business is staff, more important than clients, more important than anyone else, because staff are the people who display your brand to the world. Staff are going to be the people who either give an experience that clients are excited about or give an experience that people hate and gives you a bad reputation. For me, I want that reputation that's good. And that starts with taking care of the people who actually work for you. So then the number two thing that I did was, and this is a couple of things, was I focused on fulfillment, retention, and referrals. And so you might find it interesting that I still haven't talked about sales or marketing. But the next piece is to make sure that when staff is taken care of, you're not a revolving door in terms of clients. And so for me, this was looking at the fulfillment cycle, looking at the fulfillment system and recognizing and understanding where the holes were, where people were dropping off, why were they dropping off? What can we fix in regards to those drop-off points, and how can we position ourselves in a way to where we're proactive in searching for solutions for clients? So when you look at a media or advertising agency, often they'll generate leads or they'll run ads, but they won't look at the sales process. So we created a system to where we not only look and manage the ads, but we look at the sales process as well. And we're able to actually see everything that could potentially be a bottleneck and the client's business across the board. So when things pop up, we're able to spot that, be proactive with them, talk to them about it, fix it, and then it doesn't become a problem. And so once we started doing this, I started bolting on what I already learned with staff to make sure that our fulfillment cycle was in a place to where staff could be proactive and they have the capabilities to do that. And that, as a result, turned us into a referral machine and a retention machine. So that took our retention to about a 95% rate or maybe even a little higher at this point, but that put us in a place to where retention was so rock solid that we started to produce referrals, and the referrals started to stack obviously revenue. And this revenue didn't have to come from our own ads. It was revenue that came from the people who enjoyed the services that we were building because we took care of them. And I took care of my staff, who then gave the service that made it seem like this was a red carpet treatment. And so this was really important to me, because now we had this agency that we built up, and we have had the ability to keep and retain staff, and we had the ability to keep and retain clients, and we built a referral culture. So all of this set us up into a place to have a rock solid foundation to be able to start actually scaling with paid ads and with our marketing. So that's when number three came into place, and that was consistent marketing. So for me, this is us setting up our own paid advertising. This is us setting up our own sales cycle, our sales process. And we basically, we run our ads. We typically drive them into Messenger. We have a setter team. We have setters who go in there and respond and go back and forth with all the messages. And then obviously people who go in and close deals, but then making sure that we also had follow-up on point in this system, because a lot of people generate front-end revenue and front-end leads, but they don't do anything on the back end. They don't follow up with them. So as I was building out the sales and marketing machine, part of it for me was building out the mechanism to be able to follow up via text message, via phone call, via email. Every single modicum that we have available was important to me to be able to consistently create so we could follow up. And that put us in a system to where we can generate leads and we can generate upwards of 50% more revenue, aka ROAS, from the follow-up cycle that we've created. And I kind of call my follow-up system compassion conversations. If you've ever heard me talk about it, it's my sales marketing or my sales and follow-up system and cycle. Compassion conversations is the ability to create compassionate conversations with people to where they feel like you care about them and you get them and they want to be part of what you're doing, which moved into the next piece, which was setting up our branding and our social and our external or broad-based marketing. A lot of agencies and really businesses in general don't focus on this at all. They focus on direct marketing, like buy or die. But for me, it's important to set up the branding component as well, because this is essentially the key where someone says, okay, maybe I'll buy this. They watch your videos, they see your content, and it unlocks that little thing in their brain to where they say, I think I like you. I think I trust you. I think I can believe in you. I think what you're doing would make sense for me. And so I think this is the next place where people go wrong. They only focus on that direct marketing. So there's no place for people to go and look and check and start to feel comfortable for the voice and the vision behind what's happening. So we set up a system. We set up Instagram. We have Facebook, obviously. We have YouTube. We have TikTok. And we put out content pieces every day that are based on what clients are saying, that are based on experiences we're having and information that we can use to help people grow and scale without even paying us for anything. And so now at this point, we've created this system that it's allowed us to not only grow and scale, but it's allowed us to retain as well. And I think that's incredibly important, because I didn't want to step into this media agency and grow and scale and then become a revolving door and lose everybody. I wanted to be able to step in this into this media agency in a place to where we can grow and scale and keep people. So it gives us the luxury of being able to hire, but not hire so fast that and lose people and end up in this vicious cycle of loss and gain. So for us, it became the cycle that was slowly ticking up. And when I say slowly, we essentially more than doubled our revenue in 6 months and we maintained 50% plus profit margins. I think right now it's about 60%, which is ridiculous for an agency. And so that's the key. That's the key to be able to grow. And now at this point, we're consistently and continually growing month over month. We have a seven-figure agency. The goal is to move this into an eight-figure agency. And I think we're going to be able to do that within the next probably 12 to 18 months at the scale we're growing because we've been able to bolt on the most important things first. And that wasn't sales and marketing. The most important things for me were number one, staff. And then number two, creating a fulfillment cycle that was going to keep people around and be proactive to fixing problems. And so if you're listening to this and you have and you're building a newer business, I think the things you need to recognize and pay attention to are number one, if it's just you, well, then you just need to make sure that your fulfillment cycle is on point. Are you paying attention to what people are doing? Are you paying attention to drop-off points? Are you paying attention to inflection points where good and bad things happen so you can create systems and processes to nip that in the butt before it becomes an issue? And then if you're in a new place as a new business, well, then you have to think about, okay, what's my best channel for marketing? Pick one. Don't try to do everything. Don't do what I did and set up all of our branding and everything. We have the finance and cash flow and the capabilities to do that. A lot of people don't. So if you don't, it's essentially how can you generate your leads and how can you get business in to create sustainability so you can do all the other things. And if you're a mature business listening to this, well, then you have to think about, why am I not doing these things? Why am I only focused on this direct application of marketing and this upfront revenue, but not fulfillment or not follow-up? Why am I not focused on fulfillment? Why do I not know what my average client value is? Why do I not know what my retention rate is? Why do I not know what my churn is? These back-end numbers become the most important numbers for you to be able to grow and scale and create the solutions when problems arise and to be proactive to make sure that you have a retention rate that's maximized with clients. So that's pretty much all I've got to say today, but I really wanted to talk about how we've been able to grow and scale Elite Ads and how fast it's happened for us and my philosophy and process behind this. And I think it surprises a lot of people that marketing wasn't even the number one thing for me. Marketing was number three. And so marketing, branding, number three and four, but number one, staff. Number two, fulfillment, retention, referrals. Number three, consistent marketing and branding. And well, number three, consistent direct marketing. Number four, branding. So that's what I did. That's how I did it. That's my story. Remember, if you're interested in following me, just go to Instagram.com/Chandler_SAF and you can follow me on Instagram. I'm going to be setting up a Substack, just a little newsletter on my thoughts. So I'll put this podcast in there when I do it once a week. My thoughts for the week, just what's going on in my mind. It's not really a marketing newsletter, but it's going to be a newsletter focused on just thought leadership. So if you're interested in subscribing to that, it's not available yet, but I will have it ready by the time you listen to the next episode. All right. Have a great day.